I'd like to say, as always, it's a real privilege to be here tonight, feel the wonderful presence of God. You know, I feel God's presence every day. All day long, I feel God's presence. I feel Him with me. My interest is in God. My only interest is in God. I have no other side ambitions or personal ambitions. So I don't ever get away from His presence. It's always wonderful to feel His presence and to know that He's with me, to know that He loves me, and to know that I love Him. Now then, I want to say that we appreciate so very much you being with us. You know, here in this area, if the people of Atlanta, Georgia knew what was taking place, there wouldn't be enough parking area for miles around. The building here couldn't hold them. But God has hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent and revealed it unto babes such as would learn. It's so wonderful the way that God works. When God got ready to cut the Jews off, He began to hide from their eyes what He was doing. And they did not see until He said unto them, "You will be left all by yourself. Your houses will be left desolate until ye say, 'Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.'" And here we are now down at the end of the church ages, and God is fixing to leave the Gentile church, fixing to cut the church off. That is the church ages, the people, the Gentiles, not the true church, because God is translating the true church now. That's what He's doing. But He's fixing to cut off the Gentiles, and in that He is fixing to do it, He is carefully hiding from their eyes what He is doing. They're blinded by riches and by frolics and by the natural things of life, and they are so spellbound and carried away with the enticement of the things of the world that the Bible teaches that the God, which is Satan, the God of this world, has blinded their eyes that they cannot see. Therefore, the darkness that is in this world, the Bible teaches, has blinded their eyes. The intellectual darkness has blinded their eyes that they cannot see. But for them that can see, to them that have eyes to see, let them see. And to them that can hear, that have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Let's read a verse or two here in chapter 5 in the book of Hebrews. The 11th verse, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those by reason of use who have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister." Now then, I'd like to say one more time that we're grateful for you that are here tonight. Those that have come out to be with us, we appreciate every one of you. Appreciate those that have come out, pardon me, with a regularity. Many have come out, and we appreciate that. Tonight, we're very grateful, very thankful, and I believe that I see Brother Paul's wife here tonight. Is that right, brother? We're certainly glad to have this lady with us tonight. This is the first time that we've ever seen her. Mike and some of the others have visited with her and been acquainted with her. And my wife was telling me tonight that she'd like to get acquainted with her because she's never met her. But it's a real privilege to have his wife out here with us. Brother Paul has come with a regularity. I don't know of a service that he's missed since we've been here. And this one night he had to leave because of some people coming to visit with him. But he came to service and stayed a while. And I think that's marvelous. And I certainly count it a real privilege to have his companion here with us tonight. How do you appreciate her being here with us tonight? I think it's wonderful that the brother has let us have the arena. And his wife was part of this because really he says that he had given the arena to her. So really it belongs to her. And she gave permission for us to use it. So then I thank God for that tonight. And God certainly will bless her for it. And bless Brother Paul for what he has done also. Now, I want to talk to you about some things tonight. We don't have a very large crowd here tonight, but we have enough people to preach the gospel to. The Lord took Philip away from a citywide revival and took him down to one eunuch. And if he took him down to one eunuch and preached the kingdom of God to him, then there must be a need for us being here tonight. I'd love to see the building filled up, and maybe it will before the week's out. I don't know. There's one thing about it, I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do. And if I do what I'm supposed to do and you do what you're supposed to do, then God will do what he wants to do. And whoever he wants to come will be here because the preparation of man's heart is from God. He holds the king's heart in his hand. He turns it whithersoever he will, like the rivers of water. So he works all things after the counsel of his own will. We just have to be sure that we do what we're supposed to do, and then everything will work out all right. And so then tonight, we're glad to be here. We're very grateful to have the opportunity to be here and talk to you about Jesus and about the wonderful things of God. Now, reading in the book of Hebrews, if you'll notice, Paul the Apostle, and I'd like to just take my time and talk with you just a little bit tonight. I sometimes get in a hurry and we preach and drive hard and preach hard, and then once in a while I just like to kind of slow down and talk to you a little bit. And I'd like to do that tonight. Paul the Apostle in the book of Hebrews tells us about the wonderful faith. The wonderful faith. You know, there's not too many people acquainted with faith. When you talk about faith, people are acquainted with what they believe to be faith, what they think is faith, and what people talk about as being faith. And to them, that is faith. But you know, when it comes to real, genuine faith in God, when it comes to what faith really is, very few people know about faith. And so then, Paul, he was talking to them about the faith. Contend for the faith. You know, the Bible tells us to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints, to contend for the faith. If you had two boxers out here tonight in this ring, they would be contending one with another. If you had two wrestlers out here tonight, they would be contending one with another. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness, powers, evils, that's in high places, that we're wrestling against demon powers and evil spirits. And when we come together, we are wrestling to overcome the evil powers, that we might have the mind of Christ and that we might lay hold on the eternal life. All day long, sons of God are wrestling, daughters of God are wrestling. They are wrestling against the evil powers of darkness. They are struggling against thoughts that are defiling. They are wrestling against thoughts that enter their mind that's unlike Jesus. People who have the Holy Spirit on the inside are in a continual warfare and a continual battle against the outer person. Your inner person is warring against your outer person, because Satan, or Lucifer, being the prince of this world, he is in this world and he loves the things of this world and he is in control of the things of this world. God has placed the things in this world in his control, in that he let Lucifer or Satan take those things from Adam and from Eve. And so then he is the prince of this world. One time Adam was the prince of this world, in that he was the ruler of this world and he was in full control of this world. God had given all things into the hand of Adam. But Adam, through the weakness of his wife, surrendered to the evil powers of Lucifer and fell into the powers and control of Satan. Thus Satan became the prince of this world, and today he is still the prince of this world. The Bible tells us that he is the prince of the powers of the air. He is the ruler of the powers of the air. He works in the minds of the children of disobedience. Even until this very day, Lucifer works in the minds of the children of disobedience. People who are not Christians, Lucifer works constantly in their mind to take them into control. And the Bible says that he takes them into his control at his own will. Whenever he desires, he takes them into his control, and they do the things that he wants them to do, even though they feel that they are doing the things that they want to do. It's like when Peter spoke to Jesus. Peter said, "Nay, Lord, be it far from thee. We're not going to let anybody hurt you." So far as Peter was concerned, that was Peter doing the talking. That was Peter's desire. But Jesus the Christ, looking beyond the mind of Peter and looking beyond the ambition of Peter, he recognized another power, another mind, another life, another spirit that had seized upon Peter's sovereignty, that was speaking through Peter, and that was trying to hinder him in that he was predestined to go to Calvary and die for the sins of mankind. So then Jesus did not answer Peter. He just said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And he never answered Peter at all, because he recognized that it was not the Apostle Peter. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, because you are interested in the things that pertain to my flesh. You are interested in the things that pertain to the world. I am predestined to come here to die for mankind, and I'm not going to let you hinder me or keep me from my goal and from my ambition in God." So then we see that Satan is the prince of the powers of the air. Is that right? How have you got time to listen just a few minutes tonight? I wonder if I could take my coat off and just kind of get comfortable tonight. I just love to talk with you just a few minutes, if you don't mind. If you'll notice, the Bible teaching that he is the prince of the powers of the air, in this we are made to realize that when you say the prince of the powers of the air, that you are talking about the atomic particles. You are talking about what science refers to as mass matter. You're talking about that which pertains to matter and energy. The prince of the powers of the air. Now then, when you say the prince of the powers of the air, I want to remind you again that you are talking about matter. You're talking about energy. We get back to Einstein's theory. We begin to look in on the intellect just a little bit, and we begin to understand what the Bible is telling us when it speaks of Satan or Lucifer being a prince, a great ruler, a great power over the powers of the air.
He is the ruler over the powers that are in the air. The atomic particles that are in the air, Lucifer is the prince of those atomic particles. He rules over the powers of the air. That means that he can start an earthquake. He can start a cyclone. He has the power to start a cyclone or to stop a cyclone. He has the power to cause the ocean to boil like a pot. He has the power to interfere with your spirit on the inside, inasmuch as your atomic particles, that is your makeup, your human physics, are relative to this world. In that your human being is relative to this world, then that means that Lucifer, who is in this world and being the prince over the powers that's in the air, he can work through your intellectual reasoning. He can work through your five human senses. He can work through the atomic matter or the particles that your body is composed of. He creates an interference. He can cause sickness by creating complication in your physical being. He can war against your soul that's on the inside, your life that's on the inside. He can war against that by suppressing or oppressing your outer being. Satan is the power that rules in this world. He is the power that's in full control in this world. There is but one power that is greater. There is but one power that is supreme to Satan or Lucifer, and that is the powers of God Almighty. And so then Lucifer is the prince of the powers of the air. I say this over and over that it might find a lodging place in your mind and that you might fully comprehend what I'm trying to say, so that you'll understand when I begin to interpret what I'm saying. So then remember that Satan is the ruler of this world. Satan is the prince of this world. Satan is the prince of the powers that is in the air. He has control of the atomic matter. That's why we have atomic warfare. That's why atomic warfare at this age and at this moment is beginning to billow like the tide of the ocean, because Lucifer is stirring the pot of the intellectuals throughout the world. And he's using the thing that's called fear to cause them to press on. He's causing all nations to be afraid. He's stirring all nations up. He's causing one man to be afraid of another man. One person to be afraid of another person. One nation to be afraid of another nation. Jesus constantly warned the people as he preached the gospel in this world. He said, "Fear not. Stay away from fear. Don't fear, because fear is the worst thing that you could ever do. You should never fear anything but God, and the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom." All right, when you fear God, you say, "Brother Pike, what do you mean by fearing God?" A lot of times the devil will even complicate that. He will talk us into the idea that fearing God is being afraid that God's going to pounce upon us. That fearing God is to be afraid that God's going to hurt us. Being afraid that we're going to transgress against God. He'll say, "Now this is the fear of God." But brothers and sisters, the fear of God is not being afraid of God to the extent that we believe that God is going to hurt us, nor pounce on us. But the fear of God is to be afraid to sin against God, to transgress against God. It is not the fear of God to be afraid that you're going to transgress against God, because if you are afraid that you're going to transgress against God, you weaken your own constitution and you become a prey for Satan. But you must be afraid to sin against God. That is the fear of God. You should be afraid to sin against God. You should do everything that you possibly can to never transgress against God, to never sin against God. And any time that you feel that you're slipping, and any time that you feel that you're making a mistake, cry out to God and say, Father, thou who art loving and kind and merciful, I am doing my very best to please thee. Therefore, I am asking thee to give me strength. I am asking thee to help me, for thou art a present help in the time of my trouble and my despair. And I fear thee, O God, and I ask thee to help me, and I ask thee to stand by me, and I ask thee to be a feller unto me and strengthen me, that I might do thy will, O God, and that I might not sin against thee. David said, O God, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so then when we hide God's word in our heart, it tells us what we should do and what we should not do. And therefore, when we practice the word of God and we incorporate God's word into our heart, thus we have incorporated God's ways into our life, and thus we have put up a fortification against the powers of evil, and we have fortified against the chance that we might sin against God. So then, folks, we've got to realize tonight that we are dealing with a cunning power. We are dealing with a shrewd power. We are dealing with a powerful being, an angelic power that can literally cause the ocean to boil and billow like a pot with a fire underneath it. When we think about this, we are made to realize that we must be very wise in God. We must be very wise in God. We must be crafty, as Paul said, to escape the things of Satan, that we might become powerful in Jesus, that we might become alive in God, that we might preserve our health and our heritage, our lives, and that which God has given us. We must become wise. You know, it is a foolish person that will enter into this life without trying to get an education. A person that feels that they will ever achieve anything in this life without trying to get an education is foolish, because they need learning. They need help. They need understanding. They need to be tutored and taught if they're going to be a great figure in the world. And even though I know that there are some people that have become great figures who do not have education, yet if you will search behind them, there is somebody somewhere that they have got their learning from. There is somebody that stood behind them. There is somebody that pulled the strings. There is somebody that worked that part out that's on the intellectual side of it. It always has to be that way. But brother and sister, a man would be foolish to try to enter into life without an education if he intends to excel in this world. Now, it is the same way with God. A man is foolish to think that he can be a Christian, that he can excel in the spiritual things of God, that he can ever amount to anything in God, or ever go any place in God, or ever be anything in the kingdom of God without the knowledge of God, without the understanding of God, without studying, without driving himself toward the things of God and submitting himself to the ordinances of God. He is a foolish man to think that he will ever be anything in the kingdom of God without these things. The Bible said, study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. Study to show thyself approved. Lucifer is the prince of the powers of the air. He is the one that is in control. He is shrewd. He is very wise. The Bible said he is wiser than Daniel. He is very shrewd. He is very crafty. He is very powerful. And he presents himself to the human intelligence and the human understanding in the form of thoughts. There is thoughts that is constantly coming to your mind. You know, man, as I say so often, is nothing but a thinking machine. All he does is think from morning till night. He thinks. He thinks when he's asleep. He thinks when he's awake. He's always thinking. He is nothing more than a thinking machine. And unless he gets a hold of God, he thinks himself to death. They're constantly thinking day and night. They never stop thinking. They think from the time they're born into this world until the day they dig a hole and put them in it and throw the dirt in on top of them. Isn't that right? So then you are a thinking machine. Though you get weary, you cannot stop thinking. You may get weary. A lot of times in my life, I've got so weary of thinking, I could just scream. I just wanted to turn it off and tell it to shut up for about 2 years and let me relax. But it doesn't do that. Man thinks. He thinks. He thinks. He either thinks good or he thinks evil. He's thinking about eating or he's thinking about sleeping. Or he's thinking about riding or he's thinking about making money. Or he's thinking about his family or he's thinking about human relation. Or he's thinking about world conditions or he's thinking about something. All the time he's thinking. So then he thinks himself to death. But remember, as I have said before, man is a sovereignty. He is the great thing. With God, he is a God that cannot die. Without God, he is a heap of dirt, clay, or dust that will be thrown into a hole. He does not amount to anything. Scientist says he's worth a little over 90 cents. Not even worth a dollar. So far as the elements that he's composed of, if it's just a matter of the natural side of evaluation. Now, but with God, he is a great eternal God that lasts throughout eternity, that is mighty, that's powerful, that's great, that's magnificent. He is a God. He has the ability to control the stars, the moon, and the heavens. Joshua, in the name of the Lord. Joshua, by the power of God. Joshua, by faith in the Christ, commanded the sun to stand still, and the sun stood still. He commanded the moon to stand still, and the moon stood still. He commanded the Jordan to roll back, and the Jordan rolled back. All because he had faith in God. You say, but now, Brother Pike, we can't have that kind of faith. Then why did Peter, James, and John in their preaching later on in the years of the apostolic church point back to Joshua and Moses, calling them saints, and tell, why did they then tell us to contend for the faith that those saints back there once had? Saints like Enoch, when Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death, he escaped the grave because he had faith. Paul later on in the New Testament tells us by faith that Enoch escaped death, did not go into the grave because he believed God took him away alive. You say, well, he was just lucky. Well, then Elijah was lucky too, because later on, Elijah walked so close to God that God sent down a fiery chariot, and luckily he went away alive, as you would say. And so it has been down through the years that by faith God has done great and mighty things. Faith in God is what we need, but your thinking is what decides your believing. As the man thinketh in his heart, so he is. You must think right to be able to believe right. If you do not think right, my brother, sister, you cannot believe right. But if you think right, then you can believe right. Because when you think right, then you're going to have the right kind of believing. And when you believe, something is going to take place. Your thinking is going to be, as we use the terms a lot of times, positive. There is positive thinking and there is negative thinking. Now I know that you might get a hold of a little writing somewhere and somebody would say, now you need to think positive and not think negative, and if you'll think positive, everything will be all right. But I want you to know that the person that wrote that a lot of times just had a brainstorm and they don't know what they're talking about, because there is no such thing as positive thinking from intellectual realms. You cannot think positive as long as you're thinking intellectual or thinking from an educational realm. That is utterly impossible, because Satan works in those realms and the devil will attack you at any time. And the Bible said you will be taken into captivity by the will of the devil whenever he takes a notion to take you into captivity. Just then your positive thinking goes out the window. So then there's only one positive thinking, and that is the thinking of Jesus Christ. When you get the mind of God, the mind of Christ, the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Therefore, this mind is the positive mind. This is the mind that spoke the world into existence. This is the mind that created you and me. This is the mind that made the birds, the trees, the moon, the stars, the ocean, and all that is in this world. That is the mind of Jesus Christ. That is the positive mind. That mind, during the time that it dwelt in the body of the Son of God, it never wavered one time. It never doubted one time. It never was broken down one time. Though Satan harassed, though Satan beat, though the storms of life come down upon that little tabernacle called Jesus, yet the great Holy Spirit on the inside never yielded one time. And when Lucifer finally came, Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, but he hath no part in me. He hath had a part in every living human being that ever lived. He's probed at him and pressed him and suppressed him until he stirred him up in one way or another through their passions or through their senses, through their temper or whatever, and he's got a hold in their heart. But he has never at any time stirred me up in passions. He has never at any time broke me down. He has never at any time aroused my temper, so he hath no part in me. Jesus said, I am the one living, walking, talking human being that has mastered Lucifer, the prince of this world. When Jesus hung at Calvary, Lucifer knew that he was defeated. As he hung there at Calvary, as Jesus hung there, Satan looked upon him, and Satan knew that he was defeated. He knew that he was defeated. There was no doubt about it. He had tried everything, but there stood one that he had never enticed. There stood one that the great money powers had never affected. There stood one that lust had never gotten into his heart. There stood one that temper and evil and ugliness had never taken a hold of. And as he hung upon Calvary, Jesus hanging there, looking down at the people, Lucifer looking up, he knew that he was defeated. Lucifer knew that he was defeated. And so Jesus very gallantly, very boldly said, I have destroyed him that hath power over death. You know, we had a vision not too long ago out in Tucson, Arizona. We was out there, had been down in old Mexico and gone out into California. And there we was in Tucson looking for a vision from God. And we had a vision, and in this vision we saw Lucifer. And Lucifer came forth, and as Lucifer came forth, the Spirit of God came upon us and we met Lucifer head on. As we did, Lucifer yielded up his boldness and he turned around and he began to run. And as he ran away from us, he went off into a place to where I heard a voice say, that's the end of Lucifer. Out of there, I looked, and jewels, beautiful diamonds and jewels and all kind of jewels of splendor began to come up out of that place where he had gone. And I understood the Lord to say to me later that these are those that I call jewels. The ones that Lucifer has held in bondage all of these years, I will remember them, saith the Lord, when I make up my jewels. That's what he called them. I will remember them when I make up my jewels. And you know, a strange thing happened today. I was thinking about that vision and seeking God, and all of a sudden from out of Louisiana, here comes a little jewel box about this long, about this wide, and about that high. And it was full of rings and necklaces and jewels and all kind of things. And somebody had sent the box, the entire box, to us that we might have all of that jewelry. You know, Lucifer will make you think wrong. Lucifer will put the wrong thoughts in your mind. You say, Brother Pike, what kind of thoughts will he put in my mind? Will he cause me to want to kill and steal? Some people he will do that to. Others he will not do that to, because he knows that they will not pay any attention to that. So what he will do, he will put lust in their heart. He will put covetousness in their heart. He will put anger in their heart. He will put malice in their heart. He will put gossiping in their heart. He will put backbiting in their heart. He will put division and evil things to say about one another and to think about one another in their heart, because he knows he cannot get them in another way. And they will think upon this all day long. And if they're not careful, they will become bound with that very thing. Some people, they cannot rest day or night for thinking about their neighbor, thinking of how bad off their neighbor is, finding fault with their neighbor. There are some people that all they do is talk about their neighbor. They find fault with their neighbor. They're always finding fault. Their minds continually feed off of those things all day long. There is people that are in the church that are anointed by the powers of Lucifer to do nothing but cause division, to cause lust, to cause trouble, to cause heartaches, to cause sorrows. There are people that's in the church that does not serve God. They do not have the Spirit of the Lord. They are not interested in spiritual things. They are carnal. And the Bible said all of their desire is for their belly, because their belly craves it of them. Now, the other night, we spoke about the serpent in the garden, Lucifer. How can you recognize Lucifer? Lucifer lives in human bodies. How can you recognize God in that God is the invisible God? God, the great Holy Spirit, lives in human bodies. He tabernacles in human bodies. Lucifer tabernacles in human bodies. How can you tell the difference? Lucifer is called the serpent. And how can you tell the difference in the serpent? The Bible said that God has put the serpent on his belly. The serpent is on his belly. When God put him out of the garden, God put the serpent on his belly. And the Bible says that he was to eat the dust, because he was upon his belly. And the Bible said concerning the man that did not become a son of God, or that will not become a son of God, or that cannot be a Christian, that cannot become a God, that cannot reach that faith and that translation, God said unto him, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. You came from the dust, to the dust thou shalt return, because thou art a serpent, thou art a beast. Thou art a beast. The Bible called him a crooked generation, a generation of vipers. And the Bible said all of their labor is for their belly, because their belly craves it of them. God put them on their belly. All that they do is for their belly. I say this again, that they labor for their belly from early morning until night. They labor to get food to feed their belly. They labor to get money to buy a bed to lay their belly down upon. They labor to get an automobile to ride their belly from place to place. They labor to get a house to house their belly, so that their belly can dwell in that house, to where they can get more food to cook it in that house to feed their belly. And the Bible said all of their labor is for their belly, because their belly craves it of them. And you know what? If you'll think it over, folks, the Bible said in the last days, you know, it will be as it was in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, they were eating and they were drinking and they were marrying and they were given in marriage. He said there'd be a great excessiveness of marriage, and they'll marry one time and two times and 10 times. And I believe Liz Taylor, they just said she's getting her 7th divorce, I believe it is. Now then, it is a true fact that we're living in the day of the sinful, adulterous generation. They don't have to marry to commit adultery. They lust after one another. The way they dress in their form-fitting clothes and the way they dress in their nudeness, they lust after one another along the street. And the Bible said if you look on a person, or that is a man on a woman, to lust after them, you've committed adultery with them already in your heart. Because I say again, the sin that God charges man with is not human relation. Male and female and human relation is not wrong. God instigated that. God instigated it, and it's not wrong. And the bed of the married is undefiled and all. But brother, when you get outside of the wedding vows, when you get outside of human relation in the sense that you begin to violate marriage and you begin to practice things outside of marriage, you have become a fornicator and an adulterer. So then the sin is not because of human relation, in that God said, Adam and Eve, multiply and replenish the earth. There is nothing degraded about multiplying. There is nothing degraded about it, whether it be animals or whether it be human beings. The uncleanness of it is in man's thinking. The basis of it is because man has degraded it and brought it down to the hog pens of life. So then that is not the charge against man. What then is the charge against man? The charge against man is this one thing, and that is he defiles the temple of God. The Bible said that ye are the temples of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. He dwells in you. He lives in you. He walks in you. And the man that defileth that temple, him shall God destroy. Because if Lucifer dwells in your body, the Holy Spirit will not dwell in it. God saves you, washes you, sanctifies you, cleanses you up, and then the Holy Spirit comes into you. But if you refuse to let the Holy Spirit come in, then Lucifer dwells inside of you. And if Lucifer dwells inside of you, then you become defiled, because the Spirit of life, God, the Holy Spirit, who made you for a temple of himself, for a temple of life, for an image to project or portray life, that God of the Spirit will destroy you because you are defiled and he cannot dwell there. When a disease gets in the bloodstream, life cannot stay there unless the disease is taken out of the bloodstream, because the bloodstream must be pure in that the life is in the blood. Now then, so when we think on this, we realize the sin is not multiplying, the sin is not human relation, even though you are in violation of God's laws because you are not married. The sin, beloved friend, is if you lust in your heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. If he lusteth after a woman, the evil spirit has already contaminated the temple. If he looks on a woman to lust after her, he's already committed adultery in his heart. The evil spirit of Lucifer has already gone into the heart, and the heart is unclean, and the heart is defiled, and thus you are a fornicator and an adulterer. So then the charge against you is not human relation, but the charge against you is that you have defiled the temple of the living God. All right. So then, Lucifer is the prince of the powers of the air. Now, he is the ruler that is over the particles, over the atomic matter, controlling the energy and all form of matter, even that of which your body is composed. Your body is composed of tangible substance, of atomic particles. Therefore, Lucifer, being the prince of the power of the air, he has control over your human form. He suppresses your human senses. He works through your human senses from the outside in this world, because you, being in this world, are subject to the vanities of this world. For the Bible said God has subjected the creature unto vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him that has subjected him. That is, God has done the subjecting, but he subjected us with the hope of glory on the inside. That is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. So then we are subject to the vanities of this world. We are relative to this world because we are made out of the dust, so far as the natural man is concerned. So then we are subject to these things. Lucifer, therefore, taking advantage, what does he do? He genders thoughts in your mind. He genders thoughts in your mind. He's always gendering thoughts in your mind. In your mind, he's always putting thoughts. He puts thoughts in your mind. He genders thoughts in your mind by the human senses. If you walk out of this building and there's some cold air strikes you, thoughts come to your mind that it's cold. If you walk into a warm building out of the cold air and the warm air strikes your human senses, thoughts come to your mind that it's warm. Thus Satan, through that means, works from the outside, trying to get control of your soul so that he can enter into your spirit and dwell on the inside of your body in this world. Why does he want to do that? The Bible said Lucifer, the man of perdition, sits in the temple of God. Who is the temple of God? Human beings are the temple of God. The Bible said, you're the temples of God. Lucifer, the Antichrist, he sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is the all supreme, that he is the ruler, that he is the great one, showing himself that he is God, that he hath control, that he kills and makes alive. But the Bible said with the brightness of God's coming that God will destroy the man of perdition. What is the brightness of God's coming? It is that great unveiled mind of Jesus Christ that is coming forth in this hour. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the unveiled mind of God. It is that bright light in that the Bible says God is the great light unto which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. And it's not talking about a light like this, but the Bible said the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you can comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length, which means God is speaking of a great understanding that he calls light, and God is the great light, a spiritual understanding that is so great and magnificent that the powers of this world cannot comprehend God. Did you know that you cannot comprehend God? God is the great light into which no man can approach, whom no man has seen nor can see. The Bible said that no man has seen God at any time nor can see God, that Jesus Christ alone dwelling in that light hath immortality. And did you know that you cannot see God, therefore you must comprehend God as a spirit? And the only way you can do that is through the mind of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the unveiled mind of revelation. That's why Paul said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. Do you understand tonight what I am saying? The brightness of that light. The Bible said heaven and earth shall pass away at the coming of the brightness of that light, but my word shall not pass away. Read it in the book of Revelation and you'll find the heavens passed away. You'll find the earth passes away just as quick as the Ancient of Days come. The Bible said there's no place found for the sea. Everything passes away. When God the great light appears, there is nothing left. Only the Word. And Jesus is the Word. And you and I are the Word made flesh. For the Bible said he was the Word made flesh, and we are bone of his bone, and we are flesh of his flesh. The Bible said so. Paul said, it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live by the Son of God, Therefore, it is word flesh that God is making out of you and I, and all of the world is going to pass away, but only the word flesh of Jesus Christ, his body, shall continue to exist and live in that great celestial world. Lucifer, being the prince of the powers of the air, what can he do? He can make war with my soul. Now listen, the Bible said abstain from fleshly lust. Abstain from fleshly lust. The original rendering of the word lust is desire. Abstain from fleshly desire. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the desire thereof or the lust thereof. Make no provision for the flesh. Abstain from the flesh, because Lucifer savors, desires, or loves, or wants the things of the flesh. The more fleshly you are, the more Lucifer will make use of you. Abstain from fleshly lust, for it warreth against your inner soul. The Bible said Lot down in Sodom and Gomorrah was a righteous man. But the soul of that righteous man was vexed from day to day because of the lustful passions and evils of the people that inhabited Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, Abraham took to the plains. He stayed away from that. Therefore, he did not have to contend with that. And when God came, he came to Abraham. And if it had not been for Abraham, Lot would have been destroyed with all of the rest. But Abraham, talking with God, having a clean, holy life, a clean, holy heart, was able to communicate with God and get God to spare his nephew. Now, Lucifer warreth against your soul. That's why Paul, having a revelation, made the statement that there is a continual warfare between the inner man and the outer man, or between the body and the soul. There is a continual warfare between the inner spiritual man and the outer human being. The warfare never stops. There is a continual warfare. There is something on the inside. When you get God on the inside of you, there is a continual warfare. Now, there is no continual warfare unless you are born again, because you are born the first time into this world. You belong to Lucifer by birth. You're born into sin. You must be born again the second time into the world of God, or there is no continual warfare. But when you get God in your heart, there is a continual warfare between your inner man and your outer man. Why is that? The reason is this. Because your outer man is subject to this world. Lucifer is the prince of this world, and he works through your human senses to suppress your soul on the inside. God is on the inside of you, and the kingdom of heaven is on the inside of you by your new birth. And God is from the inside of you, working outwardly. He is making war against Lucifer, which is the infiltration of your human being. The infiltration of your human being is Lucifer. Therefore, the infiltration of your human being, God is making war against that, because your human body belongs to God. God wants to change it into a spiritual, celestial being, and he wants to preserve it and take care of it and give it health and happiness, prosperity and blessings while it's in this world. Now, a lot of people get beside themselves on prosperity, and they preach that God wants you to have prosperity. Brother and sister, the Bible says, "I would that ye prosper even as your soul prospereth." If your soul prospereth, then God wants you to prosper naturally. If your soul is not prospering spiritually, your natural prosperity will be the biggest hindrance that you ever had in your life so far as salvation is concerned. But if you are a Christian, if you are dedicated to God, if you've given your heart to the Lord Jesus, then inasmuch as you've given your heart to the Lord Jesus, then prosperity belongs to you, and health belongs to you, and happiness belongs to you, and eternal living belongs to you, because God wants you to live eternally. So then, when you speak of God's blessings, Lucifer is in this world, working through your outer man to kill your inner man. God is on the inside, working through the inner man to kill the outer man. The inner man is called Jacob. The outer man is called Esau. This world is called the land of Esau, and Canaan of that world to come is called the land of Jacob. Now, Jacob have I loved, the Bible said, but Esau have I hated. Therefore, one of your parts must die. If your outer part dies, now this is the cross that you must carry. You must take up your cross and follow me. Your cross is that your inner man crosses your outer man, and upon that something must die. If the outer man dies, then you become a celestial being, redeem the body, get the infiltration out, and thus you become eternally rich. You become eternally powerful. You have eternal life. If the outer man lives, then you lose heaven. You have the things of this world, and you perish with this world, and you have no part or lot or matter in the world to come. So then, Lucifer, the prince of the powers of the air, he works death in your outer man. Why does people die? And I'm going to close here in just a minute. Why do people die? Why is there such a thing as death? For many years in my life, I did not know. Though I fasted, I prayed, I preached, I traveled, I went across to different parts of the nation and the world, but I did not know. But when I received the revelation of Jesus Christ, I understood from then on why men die. I understood what life is. I understood what death is. I know why men die. I know how that a man can keep living on and never die. I've discovered it because I found out from God what death is. I found out from God what time is. I didn't understand time. When you speak of time and eternity, I didn't understand it. But today I know what eternity is. I know what time is. So then, when you come to understand those things and know those things, then you're able to live eternally and live forever. This was what Paul meant when he said, I've discovered a secret, a mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. I have found out that all men do not have to sleep. All men will not sleep because I have discovered a mystery. And the Bible said, great is the mysteries of God. And Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries of God. Salvation is simple when it comes to believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, but the mysteries of God are great and mighty when it comes to understanding godliness, the mystery of iniquity, the mystery of godliness, and the great mystery of the things that God spoke of. Why do men die? We're not going to be able to get into those things tonight. We'll probably comment on them as the week goes on. But why do men die? Generally speaking, it's because that Lucifer is in this world, and Lucifer is cut off from the world of light, having been a great angel, having been excommunicated, having been cut out of the presence and the light of God. He therefore is in this world as intellectual darkness, or the ruler of intellectual reasoning. He is the ruler of darkness, which means that all of this world is in darkness, and ye are the light of the world. Jesus, one little candle, and yet the fullness of light came down into a dark world, and like the old lamplighter of old, went about lighting little lights everywhere until he lit candles all over this world. And then he went away and he said, I am the light of the world. I go away, now ye are the light of the world. And we've continued to light candles to try to get the darkness out of every nook and every corner to where we can establish the kingdom of the Son of God. The Bible said gross darkness has covered the people, but it shall come to pass in the evening time there shall be light. Evening time was Calvary, for the Bible said, ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. And Jesus was the light of the world that came, and down from that time through the church ages came the great light of the church church age messengers and the church. And today it is still the light, because Jesus was seen at the end of the church ages standing in the midst of the candlesticks, which give light. So when you say death, why is there death? Because there is darkness. If you understood what light was, then you would know what life is. If you understood what darkness was, then you would know what death is. We don't have time to get into that tonight, that's for sure. But there's one thing about it. There is a reason why men die. You say, well, Brother Pike, we all know the reason, and that is because he can't keep living because he's tried so hard. No, that isn't the reason at all. The reason is sin, and if you understand what sin is, you will understand what to do to get rid of sin. And if you understand that you can get rid of sin, if sin is the cause of death, then you can understand how to get rid of death. Is that right? It's true. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean that the end of the world is here, and the knowledge of God is now being revealed, and the revelation of Jesus Christ, and the knowledge how to live eternally and not die and not be put in a grave. At last it has come, and that means that the end of the world is here. And if the end of the world is here, that means that there's some people that will never go down into a grave and never have dirt thrown in their face, because there is a knowledge, a message, an understanding that will cause them to live eternally. You love Jesus? I read to you tonight, let us go on to be perfect. Let us go on unto perfection, not turning again to lay the foundation of repentance and of dead works toward God, but let us go on unto eternal judgment and the resurrection of the dead. And these things we will do if God permit. You love Jesus? Now, I'm going to stop right here, because I really need to preach about at least another hour. Another hour would take at least another hour just to explain what we've already said. But I'm going to leave it right there and let you think on it, let you read your Bible, let you ask God about it. And in the meantime, we're going to be praying for you that God will give you the spirit of revelation and give you the spirit of understanding, and quicken to your heart and mind what we're talking about. And as we go on through the week, we'll try to piece together a little bit night after night as to what we're saying, and place it and position it in such a way until you can kind of tell what we're saying and what we're doing. You love Jesus? I appreciate you coming out to be with us. I want you to stand with us. Remember that Lucifer is the prince of the powers of the air, and that he is working against your soul. Abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against your soul. Be spiritual. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Think upon Jesus. Think upon the righteous things of God. Think upon holiness. Think upon pureness. Think upon virtue. The Bible said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. If anything be lovely, anything be pure, think upon these things. For you, according to your thoughts, will reap. For the Bible says that God will feed you the thoughts of your spirit, the thoughts of your heart, or that he will feed you the fruits of your thoughts. Your thoughts grow fruits. Some of you have heard us speak about the three minds, of how that it works. And tomorrow night, if the Lord will let us, unless he takes us a different direction, we're going to speak a little more on the three minds, be a little more explicit concerning the three minds and how they work, and the benefit of the right minds and the disadvantages of the wrong minds, how they work, how they pertain to the human family, and what good they can do you and what harm they can do you. So then, I want you to think on it, and tomorrow night, if the Lord's will, we'll talk to you some more about it and connect it with what we have said tonight, and maybe enlarge upon it a little bit more. You love Jesus? Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? The The other night, as we prayed for the sick, I really felt the anointing of God. I felt God healing the other night. Folks, it was believing the other night. I believe sincerely from my heart. I believe that they received deliverance, and I believe that they were healed. I noticed the boy that come up from Macon, must have been in his early 20s, that came over near the platform. I noticed when he come up, he really had problems. And the brother that brought him told me about the problems that he had. And as I went to pray for him, I could tell that he really had problems. But as I laid my hands on him, all of a sudden I felt a sweep of the Holy Spirit. And I felt it just like that. And I felt something snap, just like you took fire and stuck it to a string. And I said, it just broke off of you. I felt it go. I felt it go. And when I did, I looked and tears had filled his eyes. And he told me, or let me know, that it had left, that it had broke. You know, it's so wonderful. As we talked to the young lady the other day when she came down, having had trouble with the bondage of an evil power, talking to her. While we talked to her under the anointing, all of a sudden I felt something come down, and I felt the great Spirit of God just shoo, like that, and I felt it snap. And I said, it's gone. I said, it just left you. I said, it just went away. Tears, I looked and tears had filled her eyes. I said, do you feel free? She let me know very quickly that she felt free and that she believed and that she knew something had happened to her. The other night, when we prayed for the lady that had had severe headaches for 3 weeks that had not let up as she sat there in the coach, and we prayed for her, as we began to pray, I felt the great Holy Spirit again as he came down, and I felt him as he comes sweeping down upon her. And I said, sister, God just healed you. God just loosed you from that pressure. You should feel better right now. She said, I feel better right now. I said, it's gone right now. She said, it's gone right now. And the pressure has lifted right now. Jesus does that because he loves us. It's because he loves us. Pray for Solomon. Let's just lift our hands up while we pray for the baby tonight. He's got something wrong with his eyes. Let's pray and let's ask God to do something. Now, if you need something and you want to stand out here, it's all right. I appreciate Brother Dwight and Brother Gill's building this ramp for us. I asked Brother Carnes if he'd get it built for me by tonight, and he didn't let me down. And I appreciate it so very much. I don't know where this has slipped on the end over here or whether it's just a little bit shy. But I noticed that end needs a little something under it over there in the event that people should walk on it. But they did a real good job. And I thank the Lord for it, because as the week goes on, we'll be praying for the sick night after night, and it makes it so much better. The other night, I had to stoop way over like this, or either I had to bring them up here on the platform. But this way, it brings them up to where I can pray for them, and it makes it so much better for me. I see Solomon is here tonight. A little boy right here the other night, he came to me and he told me, he said, I want to give my heart to God. I said, you do? He said, yeah. I said, I want you to tell me how that I can give my heart to Jesus. And so I told him, and he gave his heart to Jesus. I think that's wonderful. The Bible said, out of the mouth of sucklings and babes, God has perfected praise. All right, let's pray as we pray for the little one tonight. Let's pray together. Stretch your hands out in this direction with me, will you? Will you pray? The Bible said, when you pray, believe. It's no need to pray unless you believe. A lot of people get disappointed because they pray and don't believe. And they say, well, God didn't answer me. But if you pray and then believe, God will answer you. But if you don't believe, God won't answer you. You must believe. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, as I pray for this little one, I ask you to touch this little one tonight. Heal these eyes, Father. I feel the wonderful presence of God here tonight. I feel the Holy Spirit because of your righteousness, because of your goodness. Lord, we live because of you. Heal tonight in the name of Jesus. Bless, forgive, and deliver tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus. As we lay hands upon these people, oh God, touch him tonight. Touch little Solomon in the name of the Son of God tonight as we pray, Father. Touch this minister tonight. Lord, as we pray for him in the name of Jesus, Lord, let him be healed. Let him be delivered. Let him be anointed. Lord, I feel his faith in the name of the Son of God right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Heal and forgive and save in Jesus' name. Touch this little one tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. May your spirit, oh God, be here tonight and touch this little body. Touch Dave tonight in the name of Jesus, Father. May your spirit be upon him tonight. In Jesus' name, touch these people as I lay hands upon them. May your great spirit be with them tonight to heal, to save, and forgive. Lord, I ask for your blessings tonight upon this brother. May he be blessed tonight. May he be touched tonight. May your spirit come down upon him tonight. Touch his little lady tonight, Father, as we pray for in Jesus' name. May your spirit be upon her to keep her little body healthy and whole in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, Lord of heaven, heal this little one tonight. Father, move the fever. Lord, touch his little body. May you heal him. I feel your great spirit right now. Heal and bless in Jesus' name. Bless this mother. Heal, forgive, touch her tonight in the wonderful name of the Son of God. May your spirit come down in a great and in a mighty way, Father. Hallelujah. I feel Jesus, don't you? I feel the blessings of God. As the week goes on, we're going to be praying for people and God's going to be healing. And we're going to be praising him for it. Praise God. I'll do it. Father, bless Jimmy. Lord, you've seen him lay aside the world of boxing. Dear God, when he had great advantage and great opportunity that he might be a Christian, Father, he laid it aside. Therefore, in the name of the Son of God, help him tonight to please you. Help him tonight, oh God, to look unto you. Father, anoint him, and dear God, he wants to grow in the revelation of Jesus. May your spirit be with him and with his wife, with his little children, to meet the needs, oh God, and to bless him in a great and in a mighty way. I ask you to do it in Jesus' lovely name tonight. Hallelujah. Father, bless this brother tonight in the name of Jesus. May your spirit come down upon Vent. May he be touched tonight. May the heavenly Father grant him a blessing. May the greatness of your love and the greatness of your spirit and the greatness of your power be here tonight to heal and forgive in the wonderful name of Jesus, the wonderful Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you love Jesus tonight? I want you to step down here tonight. And I want to pray for you as a whole. Just step down here for a few minutes. And I want to pray for you as a whole tonight. And ask God to do something for you. The other night, some were hurt. Some were moved. Some were bothered. Because I didn't pray for some of you. The anointing was moving in a great and a mighty way. And I didn't pray for some of you, but I could not get to you. There were so many of you, I could not get to you. And that's why I ask him for this ramp right here. I ask him for this ramp right here. That's why they built it, so that I could get to you a little better. It makes it a whole lot better. And I can get to you a little better and pray for you. And as the anointing begins to move, we're going to pray for you. Now, we are praying for you. I'm a little tired in body tonight because I've been praying. Like the song we wrote one time when we were out in California many years ago, I've been a praying. And I've been a praying. And sometimes you get a little tired when you travail before God. But from night to night, we're going to pray for you. And we're going to ask God to do something for you. We're asking God to do something for you. We're asking God to move in these meetings and to move in these services and to break the yoke ahead and to bring down His wonderful love. I feel the joy of the Lord, don't you? The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. I feel the joy of God. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost just talking. Brother Paul, tonight I feel the presence of God. Hallelujah. It's wonderful just to be a Christian. Isn't that right? It's wonderful just to be a Christian tonight. To feel the joy of the Lord, folks. If you can't feel the joy of the Lord tonight, something's wrong with you tonight. Because I feel the joy of the Lord. No make-believe about it. I feel the joy of the Lord. It's joy like a river. It's peace like a river. It's the power of God. It's that wonderful, great, overflowing artesian well that's springing up within your innermost being. That wonderful joy. Hallelujah, that wonderful joy. We sang that song, I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river. Hallelujah. It's joy like a river. I've got joy like a river. Hallelujah. Let's sing that little chorus together, can we? Oh, I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Oh, I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Hallelujah. You love Jesus tonight. I want you to lift your hands tonight. I want to pray for our sister tonight, if I can. Can I pray for you, sister? It's a real privilege to meet you tonight and to have you here. You got a wonderful husband. Please, God. We want to pray for you tonight. Father, in the wonderful name of your lovely son, Jesus, Holy Father, bless this woman tonight. Father, you bless Brother Paul since he's been here. And oh, I felt the Holy Ghost upon him the other night, Father. Let the wonderful Holy Ghost be upon this person. May the great Holy Spirit overshadow this person and fill this human body. May your Spirit, Father, may the joy of the Lord come down and the greatness of your Spirit and the power of your deliverance tonight go into this heart and into this life. If there be any physical defect, Lord, we want you to heal them tonight. Heal them. Oh, God, grant this, Lord. They've let us use this arena for your glory. Heal these people, Father. Strengthen these people. Bless these people. Save these people in the wonderful name of the lovely Son of God. I ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river in my soul. Oh, I've got peace
Like a river, I've got peace. Like a river, I've got peace. Like a river in my soul. Sing it one more time. I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river. I've got joy like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Hallelujah. Can you praise the Lord tonight?
Like a river.
Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you praise the Lord tonight? Lift your hand and praise the Lord tonight. Let's praise God tonight. Let's praise God tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise God tonight. I feel the glory of God. I feel the blessings of God tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I feel the love of God tonight. I feel the healing of God tonight. The great Spirit of the Lord moving here tonight. If you'll just reach out, God will give you what you want. If you'll just reach out, God will give you what you want tonight. God will give you a blessing tonight. God will give you a healing tonight. God will give you a deliverance tonight. He'll do something for you. Hallelujah. You'll go away saying it was good to be here in the house of God. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Like a river, I've got peace. Like a river, I've got peace. Like a river in my soul. I've been a-wading through deep waters, trying to get home. I've been a-wading through deep waters,
I sure
trying
do it.
To get home.
I'll pray for him. I believe God will heal him.
Through deep waters, I've been a-wading through
David
deep
Shua.
Waters. I've been a-wading through deep
Chua.
Waters, trying to
Chua.
Get home.
David is Chua.
Gonna sit down at the welcome.
Hallelujah.
When I get home.
Praise God. Lift your hands up in love, Jesus. What a wonderful feeling. What a wonderful feeling. Hallelujah. Jesus will do something for you. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete, while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, for I have anchored my soul in your haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more, though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore, for I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more, though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Don't you love Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. I wouldn't trade Jesus for all of the world, would you? I wouldn't trade eternal life. I wouldn't trade eternal life for all that the world has to offer tonight. I had rather have eternal life tonight. I'd rather have the blessings of God tonight. I had rather be with the people of God tonight than to have all that the world can afford. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus has been good to us. He's blessed us. He's been with us. He's healed us. There's been accredited to our account a few million dollars. But you know what? I wouldn't give Jesus tonight for all of the world. I wouldn't give Jesus tonight for all everything heap upon heap. I had rather be a Christian. I'd rather be a child of God tonight. I'd rather have God, Jerry, than anything in this world tonight. Jesus. Jesus. You know, I look out upon the audience so many times in the different countries where we go, and in the different places and across the different parts of the United States. And I see people with such superficial makeup in the sense of salvation that's never known the touch of the divine Holy Spirit, and that lives day after day in a world of make-believe. And I feel so sorry for them, because I know the reality of serving Jesus, and I know the glory of His love and presence. I know the rest and the healing and the salvation and the deliverance. I know that wonderful peace that comes down from God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing tonight to be acquainted with the reality of Jesus, to love Jesus, to have God as a living reality in your soul and in your heart. If you love Him tonight, lift your hands one more time. Can you do that? Can you tell Him tonight that you love Him? Can you say, Jesus, Jesus, I love You. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. I love You, Jesus. You know, you say, but I've made mistakes, Brother Pike. I've made mistakes too. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm no good. I'm no good either. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm just not good enough for salvation. I'm not good enough either. But I thank God that Jesus is good enough. I thank God that Jesus didn't make any mistakes. I thank God that Jesus is all good and none bad. I'm glad tonight to know that God has accepted Jesus and His righteousness in my behalf. Hallelujah. So tonight, I can lift up my heart. I can lift up my head. I can lift up my soul. I can praise Him. I can thank Him for salvation. I can thank Him for forgiveness. Why? Because Jesus loved me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should have everlasting life. And it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call ye upon the name of the Lord while He is near. Call ye upon the name of the Lord while He is near. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Call upon the name of the Lord. Give praise and honor and glory to His wonderful name. Forget not all of His benefits, David said. Give praise and glory to the God of salvation. Lift up your soul and heart, and God will give you new strength, and God will give you new courage. It doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're young. God will give you new strength. God will give you a new vision. God will give you a new hope. Moses was 80 years old, but the Bible said his eyesight had not waxed dim. The natural sources of his body wasn't abated. At 80 years old, he was still like a young man. And at 80 years old, God called him into a ministry for 40 years by preaching the gospel and delivering the people, because he had faith in God. If you'll have faith in God tonight, God will do something for you. God will do something outstanding. God will heal you. God will give you that special blessing, that special treat that you're looking for. All you've got to do is love Him. All you've got to do is call on Him. All you've got to do is give Him a chance, because God wants to help you. He will help you. God will help you. He will lift you up. He will strengthen you.
He will come nigh unto you. He's the present help in the time of need. He'll make you happy. We sing that little chorus, God has made me happy. God has made me glad. God can make you glad tonight. I want to sing that little chorus with you tonight while you're praising God. And I want you to see if God has made you glad the way that He's made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that my Lord hath made. I will rejoice for He hath made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. I will rejoice for Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made me glad. Jesus made me glad. I will rejoice for He hath made me glad. Do you love Him tonight? You know, I said the other night while we were over in Haiti, and there as hundreds of people gathered in to hear the gospel, they praised God till the perspiration poured. They pressed in to be prayed for with eagerness until they had to hold the people off because they believed their faith was so outstanding until they were pushing like a team of horses because they wanted to be healed. They wanted to be saved. They wanted to know about Jesus. When we were over in Grand Cayman Island, they said we had the biggest meeting that they'd ever had in that island when they knocked the sides out of the church there for the people to come. And Brother Taylor sang, until the perspiration poured and faces was literally covered with sweat as they praised God and sang the wonderful, glorious songs of Zion. Around the different parts of the world, people praise God. But you know, America is getting farther and farther away from God. America is getting colder and colder, and the Spirit is withdrawing more and more. But in the far-flung places, in South America, in Central America, in the foreign fields, in Europe and other places, people are calling on the name of Jesus, and they're beginning to cry out for the name of Jesus. You know what? I, being an American here in America, I think we need to call on Jesus, and we need to cry out to Jesus. I want to keep the Spirit of God in America. Don't you? I don't care about it going to the heathen countries. I'm glad for God to go, but I don't want God to leave America. I want God here in America. I don't want cold, callous, dead, formal churches to where you can't feel God and all you hear is some intellectual person get up and make a speech every Sunday morning. I want to feel God's presence. It's going to take God's Spirit to bring us up from the dead, folks. It's going to take God's Spirit to resurrect us. You love Jesus? The Bible said, if this Spirit be in you that raised up Christ from the dead, He shall also by His mortal body, or by His Spirit, quicken your mortal body with the Spirit that dwelleth within you. Is that right? By this great Spirit, He will quicken your mortal body. If you can feel that quickening tonight, then you're on the main line, as the song said. If you can't feel that quickening tonight, then you don't have His Spirit. And the Bible said, if you don't have His Spirit, you're none of His. If you want to be resurrected from the dead, then you're going to have that quickening Spirit. You're going to have to get that quickening Spirit on the inside of your body, or you won't be resurrected from the dead. You understand what I'm saying? It's going to take the power of the resurrection. Jesus said, I am that quickening Spirit. For the last man, Adam, was made a quickening Spirit. I am the power of the resurrection. I am the quickening Spirit. If I live inside of you, I will quicken your body. Paul said, there remaineth nothing but the quickening. The quickening. If you don't have the quickening, you don't have the resurrection. If you have the quickening, then you have the resurrection. So, you know, even the Quakers of old, years ago, way back in John Wesley's day when he established the Methodist Church, that's one thing about old brother John Wesley. He believed in the quickening. They called him the sanctified, but they believed in the quickening. That's right. Way back with the Quakers, Even in the days of the Quakers back there, they believed in the quickening. Isn't that right? Way back with the Quakers, they believed in the quickening. You need the quickening, folks. You know, I notice in the day that we're living in, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Presbyterian, the Catholics, the Pentecostals, all of them together, the Jesus name, all of them are coming together believing in the quickening. They're beginning to learn that there's no resurrection without the quickening, and they're beginning to look for the quickening. But you know what? We need to be careful, because it's in this hour that the danger comes. But the Bible said they all was asleep at that midnight cry, and when that midnight cry came, they all awoke. But when they all awoke, they began to say, our lamp is gone out, our light is burning no more, we have no more oil, give us some of that quickening. And they started looking for the quickening, but it was too late. It was too late. It was too late, because the church had already been sealed in, and God already had them ready for the rapture. So if there's any time left, let's get ready tonight. If there's any time left, let's get ready tonight. Let's get the quickening in our heart. Let's get salvation in our soul. Let God come into your life and quicken you. Quicken your mortal body to righteousness, to holiness, to godliness, to pureness, to virtue, and to that eternal awakening of inspiration and joy. Let God do it tonight for you. And if you'll let God do it tonight for you, you'll be glad. You'll be glad. He'll make your heart glad. We're going to sing one more chorus, and we're going to let you go. But I want you to praise God for a few more minutes. The Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. See if you be in the faith. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. See if you've got your mind on the word. See if your heart is established in the word. See if the convictions that you've got comes from the word. See if your convictions is from ideas or from churchianity or from something that somebody's told you or from your ancestors, or if it's a formality like the Jews had that come from the elders, the tradition of the elders, or see if it's the word of God, and see if your faith and believing tonight is in the conviction of the word of God. If so be that you are convicted in God's word, then you have faith tonight. I say this so often, in the latter days, the Bible said they shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And a lot of people today have seared their conscience. The Bible said they're past feeling. They don't have any conviction in the word of God. They don't know what they believe in, because they don't know the word of God. And they don't have any conviction except what somebody has told them, or what they've heard, or what they've read out of some book, or what the tradition of the elders have given them. They don't have any understanding of the word. Therefore, they can't have any faith in it, because they don't even know what it says. And they are departing from the word of God. But brother, sister, let's have faith in the word. Let's have faith in the word. Let's learn what the word says, line upon line and precept upon precept. Let's go where the word is preached. Let's not listen to vain janglings and look for worldly entertainment, but let's look for God's word for salvation and for eternal life. Because once they throw the dirt in your face, that's the end of you, and you'll never get up out of that hole. So far is salvation, unless you got the quickening. And it's coming to each and every one. We sang that song, you got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to go there by yourself. There's no one here that can go there for you. You got to go there by yourself. All right. Let's sing this song together, can we? I love him. Now the Bible said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I love him. I love him. Because he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. One more time. I love him.
Richard.
Because he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Yeah, I praise the Lord tonight for every one of you. Certainly glad to have you here. I trust that every one of you will be back with us tomorrow night. Appreciate so much having Brother Paul's companion out with us tonight. Look forward to him coming out. I've been looking for Curly to come out. I thought sure he'd been out, but I'm sure that him and Roberta will be out before long. He must have got caught away in a meeting somewhere. But we're thankful to be here tonight. We appreciate you. We want you to come back and be with us. We're looking for a greater meeting on toward the weekend. We're praying for that. Got Brother Richard the Jew up here with us tonight. Richard is a miracle. God healed Richard when they couldn't do anything for him. The medical profession couldn't do anything for him. God picked him up and completely healed him. And it's a great miracle. And he's with us tonight. And I appreciate him so very much. It's wonderful to see a Jewish person converted to the faith. And he's working fervently with others, trying to convert more Jews to the faith of Jesus Christ. He works with us a lot of times in the colleges and different places in helping the people that are there to find Jesus. And I appreciate it. He's trying to enlarge upon that, and God is blessing him in it. So tonight, it's a privilege to have him here with us. And I want you to just close your eyes. As Brother Richard comes to pray the closing prayer tonight, I want you to close your eyes and just call on the name of Jesus as our brother prays with us tonight. And ask God to do something special in your life tonight, and I know that he will.